Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. As 2018 gets underway, we thought we'd take a look at how Florida's state animal, the endangered Florida panther, did in 2017. Apparently, 30 panthers died last year, with 25 of those being killed by motor vehicles. That's down from 2016's record number of 42 overall panther deaths, with 34 vehicle kills. Biologists say that the panther population is growing and that last year's decline in the number of overall documented panther deaths was the first in years. And the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is conducting a five-year review of the panther population, the results of which could mean delisting it as a federal endangered species. We're joined for the rest of the hour by Amber Crooks. She's the Senior Environmental Policy Specialist with the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. Amber, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's good to see you again. And as always, we want to hear from you. Do you have a panther encounter that you would like to share with us? Join our conversation by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So let's start with the basics. Florida panther, federally listed endangered species. How long has that been the case?
Since it was listed back actually before the Endangered Species Act, it's been at that level this whole time for decades.
Well, that act passed in, 1967?
67 was the first federal act, and then the Endangered Species Act, 1973. So it's been endangered since that time.
Wow. Do you know about how small the panther population was at that time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was even questionable if they still persisted in the wild. So back in the 1970s, it was determined after extensive field research that there might be only about 20 to 30 cats out there. And of course, today the estimate is from 120 to 230 cats.
I know this is kind of sounds like a silly question, but how do you figure out how many panthers are out there?
Well, it's a bit of an educated guess. Even the best panther biologists acknowledge that this estimate is their best professional guess because it's very difficult, even with camera traps and the surveying that they do in the field and the collars, to really get a handle on how many panthers are out there because they are one color. If they were a tiger or had spots or stripes, they would have a much better, easier time to figure out.
I can't even
see
the one at the zoo. I go there and look for Uno at the zoo, at the Naples Zoo. I can't even see that guy. They blend in so well.
They do, and that does make it difficult to estimate the population for certainty. And why we're looking at the panther population mortality rate going down this year as a very positive thing, but also kind of seeing how that pans out into the future. Because I know FWC has, for many years, we've had the record mortalities year after year. Record mortality, record cats being hit on the roadways was an indicator of the panther population increase. And so while this year, with the numbers being down, I'm taking it as a very positive, hopefully, trend, it's something that we would definitely want to look at in the future to see if that lowered number is indicative at all of changes in the panther population.
Yeah. I mean, great news. Fewer of them got killed, or maybe our outreach has worked and people are being careful on the road, or the other side, it could be that the population may be.
Yes. So I know the biologists will be keeping a handle on that to see if it's indicative of anything more gloomy, but it's certainly a very positive news for this year. And also, it was just about a year ago that we got news of breeding female panthers north of the Caloosahatchee River. Again, it's been decades since we've had that to be, and that's something very positive to write home about.
Yeah, I mean, we need. Rarely do I get that excited about conservation news, but that was great news. I mean, it was north. Has anything panned out as far as information since that a year ago?
Yeah, so it's my understanding that first litter of kittens didn't make it, and that's not atypical. Kittens do have a difficult time, only about a third reach adulthood, even south of the river. But I know, I understand that there's been more attempts for breeding, and actually that's going to be the subject of a talk held at the Conservancy of Southwest Florida in February on the 15th. The Friends of Florida Panther Refuge are having their annual meeting, and Dr. Jen Korn will be there to talk about panthers north of the river. So we'll learn some more that day also about what she's been finding on her camera traps.
Yes. And I'm wondering, you know, it was kind of chilly here for the last couple of weeks. How does that impact the panthers? Does it slow down their movement or anything, or they have a nice coat? So,
well, actually, every year it seems like during the winter months, we actually get more movement, more mortalities. Maybe they're also relieved that it's cooled off from the hot summer. Yeah.
Well, there's also more cars on the road, too, which
That's
is
true.
Something you always point out to me, and I've always been very cognizant of ever since you told me that.
Oh, yes. There's definitely a marked increase for mortalities, and it may be attributable to that. That's something also that we've, like you say, been trying to point to in addition to more panthers being out there. Perhaps that's leading to, generally speaking, more panthers being hit for this year. But also we have 90,000 more people here over the last few years, contributing to millions of more vehicle trips. So interesting and perplexing, but a positive spot that we have this lower mortality this year.
So the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service began a five-year review of the Florida panther population back in July. According to reports, the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission says there are up to 230 panthers now living in Southwest Florida, but apparently that number is disputed by conservation groups. What is that review going to mean for panthers?
Yeah, so this is a typical review that the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is supposed to conduct for all of its listed species every 5 years to see if there's new information that hasn't been considered yet and if that would result in any changes to its listing status. So after it announced its review, it received the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service received over 20,000 comments from the public, from everyone from citizens to even Senator Nelson and Congressman Buchanan wrote in, and of course the Conservancy of Southwest Florida and our partners also wrote in, asking for the service to keep the panther as its current status as endangered. And that the science shows it's not yet, even though it's increased from back in the 70s, it's not quite ready yet to be looked at for any downlisting or delisting.
So who's in charge of enumerating how many panthers are out there in the wild? Who's charged with that task?
Yeah, it's primarily based on the research of the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission biologists. And of course, they do that in conjunction with the federal government, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service.
Okay, so when the Conservancy is talking about things, they're using those numbers.
Mm-hmm.
They're not conducting their own headcounts or anything, are they?
Although we did have a biologist that worked for us that conducted some of those first camera traps, we're actually looking at the best available science, whether it be from the feds, the state, or from academia when we're writing into decision makers.
So there's a Sierra Club article that speculates that this review that it's under could mean the delisting of the panther as a federal endangered species. At what point would the Conservancy consider that an acceptable move? How many panthers would the Conservancy like to see before that happens?
Sure. And of course, that's based on best available science. And right now, as reflected in the recovery criteria, it shows that you'll need to have three distinct populations of at least 240 panthers each population, where the cats can move from one population to another. And so that means a lot of territory needs to be secured and that the connections between those areas also need to be secured. So right now, we're making headway on solidifying one population, although habitat loss is a looming threat. And that's something I want to speak to about looking into 2018.
Yeah. What do you think? I mean, it's not like people are going to stop moving down to Florida.
Yeah, that's right. We're already third populous state in the union. And there's a lot of decisions coming on for growth management in our eastern lands looking into 2018 that I hope citizens will be engaged in. In fact, we have an action alert on our webpage right now about a proposed new town in eastern Collier County. And just to give you some idea of how big this new development would be, it's called Rural Lands West, and it's about 2 miles wide and 6 miles long and would accommodate about 10,000 new homes. So this is a very major development that is right now pending with the permitting agencies.
Wow. When does that come up? Do you know?
Well, the decision is being made over the next few months on this, likely. And at different levels, Collier County is also going to be reviewing its growth strategy starting this month with some public meetings they're holding. So there's a lot of movement, and the lightning rod issue of the Eastern Collier Habitat Conservation Plan, which is related to all of this, also may be back in 2018 for some public meetings.
Well, you got a busy year ahead of yourself.
Yes.
How would something like that new town impact the preservation of panthers?
Sure. Well, with any new development, there are certainly areas of impact and areas of preservation. And for us, when we're looking at a proposed development, whether it be this one or anything else, we're looking at the science to see what does it tell us about the impacts and listed species use in that area. And what we can tell about Rural Lands West is that it's a very important area for Florida panther. A lot of the science shows that this area specifically is heavily utilized by the cats. It's right next to a major flowway and corridor. And so we've been making suggestions to the permitting agencies to make modifications and move it out of those most important areas.
Is there another area that would work better?
There is indeed an area that's a little bit north of there, owned by the same landowner, that would be much more acceptable, although there's still impact, much more consistent with the science. So that's part of our take action alert that's on our webpage at conservancy.org under take action to write into the regulatory agencies and ask them to consider something like that in lieu of what's proposed currently.
And just, you know, for listeners who just really love panthers, do you know if there's a way for the public to track individual panthers, like the shark tracking site? Do you have any of them with collars on that you can kind of see where they're going?
Well, the agencies do collect that information, but it's not, as far as I know, on any of their public websites. It is something that we try to get that refreshed information every year so that when we conduct our own analysis of, say, a new town, to get a better understanding of where these cats have been and what kind of habitats they're using.
Mm-hmm. I think that would really engage people, though. I would check on a panther and see where it's walking around. I think that would be really interesting.
They're around. Then they show up in places you don't necessarily expect, good and bad.
like backyard. I've only had a bobcat in my backyard. As I understand it, panthers, by nature, they need a large swath of land to survive. Refresh my memory on how much room one panther needs.
Yeah. A male panther is estimated up to 250 square miles. And a female slightly less, but and they overlap, but we're still talking about a lot of area. And so that's why conservation, for example, this year, another silver lining is a great achievement is the purchase of Edison Farms. That's core environmental habitat for the panther and other species. So another positive of 2017.
And then I wanted to touch back earlier in the show. You talked a lot about genealogy, and the genealogy of the Florida panther comes into question a lot. You know, people wonder about its relation to the Texas puma. We only have a couple seconds left. Can you briefly give me a recap on that?
Sure. That is the subject of this status update for the service, and I think it will be a big part of that. For us and for many other people who have written in, it doesn't matter if it's a Florida panther or and it's that distinct or if it's just a panther in Florida. It's been here for millennia, and they want to see it persist and recover. And so that's why we need to keep it listed as endangered and do some of these other conservation measures, make sure that it's protected into perpetuity and that it'll be here for future generations.
All right. And we have links to the Collier County website that you mentioned on our website at WGCUnews.org. If anybody listening would like to get involved in some of that Eastern Collier County planning discussion.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks for coming on the show. I want to thank you for coming in, Amber Crooks with the Conservancy of Southwest Florida. And I also want to thank my earlier guest during our conversation about genealogy, FGCU Professor Karen Ryan and Carol Rooksby Weidlich from the Lee County Genealogy Society. Our show today was produced by Mike Canary, and yours truly. Our director is Richard Chin Kui. Our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1, WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM, NPR for Southwest Florida.